Welcome to the 112th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
I'm not going to lie, that sounded like you were thinking, you were flirting with the idea of doing an accent.
Oh, no, I was just emphasizing 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were like,
I might have been flirting a little bit.
Maybe I'm going a little British here, and then you're like, nah, pull back.
Oh, well, we're here in our nest, Mark. It is you and me again. After a long string of episodes with guests, we'd like to thank Peter and Tommy from the Electric Mud, Claire and John from the Free Coasters, John Lewis for coming onto the No-No recently. We've got some more guests coming up soon, but just me and you tonight, buddy.
Indeed. Tonight, and you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a night record, so
night mode activate.
Whenever we have a night record, who knows what the frig is going to happen. It's you know, no holds barred. You got a big old stein of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I just got done with an 11-hour shift after playing a 3.5-hour gig last night. I got home around 2:30. I had to be up at 8 for work. So all bets are off. We'll see if we can start strong and keep it going, or if it's just going to go into a tailspin.
Would you say you're more of a morning person or a night owl, Mark?
Well, I mean, we've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You knew me back when I used to like basically only be up at night. I would wake up at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I worked from like 5 to 10, and then we'd go out, you know, until like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go to bed at like 6 or 7 and, you know, wake up at 2 or 3 or whatever. There's a lot of things I like about the night. But I definitely like a lot of stuff about being awake during the daytime now. Especially being as busy as I am, being able to get stuff done, regarding like, you know, dealing with other people. Now that I'm older, not a lot of people are up, you know.
Yeah. Most of the world is up during the day now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, guess I got to do what I got to do. But, I mean, the night is beautiful. It's peaceful. It's cooler. I love all those things. But I mean, like, I know during quarantine, I started getting like, I'd go to bed at like 3 or 4. I started like pushing kind of later and later and later,
mm-hmm.
but I would still wake up at like 8 or 9. Because it's like my body's natural rhythm.
Right.
But what about you? You're a morning guy. You're up naturally at like 6.
Yes. Yeah. Very much a morning person. I don't think I ever, I mean, I used to stay up late, but, I don't know, you know, I like sleeping in occasionally. It's like a treat, you know, like, ooh, goody. I get to, you know, just sleep in a little, get my day started a little bit later. But typically, you know, once I wake up the first time in the morning, I usually just like get out of bed and start my day. But very rarely, like today was one of those days. I got up for a second and then I was like, no, I'm going to go back to sleep and just savor the sleep.
So. Some people aren't so lucky. I know some people, once they wake up, mm-hmm. that's it. Like
yep.
that it's game over. And two nights ago, I think I was up to like 4 in the morning and thought, oh, tomorrow I'll be able to like, I'll wake up late, and I woke up early, and luckily I was able to go back to sleep and wake up around 10. I can take either. I'm not a morning person. I mean, I woke up today at 8 after getting home at 2:30 and getting to bed around 3, and, you know, I went about my day and worked a full shift. It was busy. We got the storm that's right by us, so a lot of rain and crud going on, so.
Do you think recording at night is going to help your chances with my questions?
No.
No? You think this is going to be worse for you?
Well, you know, I mean, you do raise an interesting point. I mean, I do a lot of pub trivia happens at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I have kind of thought occasionally about the fact that when you are doing trivia at night, your brain is been, you know, moving all day. You know, mm-hmm. usually when we're recording, it's like I wake up, shit, shower, shave, sit down, grab a drink, and we start going.
It's fresh. in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, my brain is still trying to like process what's going on, but today, I've been dealing with problem solving all day, and
so you think it's going to make you more flexible because you've been working that muscle.
There is a possibility that I could do better, but I probably won't. What about you? Do you think that you think you stand a better chance?
I think so. I don't know. The late night energy, I'm gonna try and, I slept in late this morning, so I've got a little bit of extra energy now than I usually do at this hour. And I'm gonna try and ride that typical trivia pub night energy, I think.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about just for a second is after having Tommy and Peter on, and John and Claire and John Lewis, all these people that we've been pretty good friends with for a while. Man, there's something so thrilling about flirting with giving as much information as you think you can give without giving it away. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was trying not to go there. I mean, it is where, you ask a question, but you give a little more information and a little more information, and what's going to tip them over, if anything. And when you know someone well, there's so much that there's so much you can play with. I was thinking about you saying a movie that Mark likes, things like that. I mean, now some of this stuff can't be done in the general.
Right. It's meta for our podcast.
For sure. Yeah. And it can be, personalized to specific people.
You've mentioned the show on the podcast before, though. So I felt like that made it fair game as a hint.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, even still in the grander scheme of things, you can do it when you're writing questions like you do, where it's a general question, but also with a secondary way to get there. And you're using there was a question that I had that I can't remember if I asked on the podcast or not, about the hill that the house, I think it was the House of Commons is on, or the hill that in England that shares a last name with a famous female character that was on a TV show for 6 years.
Yes, that was Ludgate Hill.
Yes.
Yes.
And so just knowing that a lot of people know that show, know that name, know who April Ludgate is, you're teasing it just so, giving the years. And that's the thing, giving information, there's a point where you're giving too much information, or the kind of information. You can almost give loads of information that's everything around the stuff that would help them, that will just drive them insane. And you get to just see them just work themselves into a frenzy.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was preparing the questions for this episode's podcast, my last question that I have for you originally was about twice as long. And I was like, Mark is just going to eviscerate me for having too many hints. It's going to get too confusing. So I whittled it down to two. But I can tell you what the other ones are when we get there.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Speaking of which, the question categories that I have for you are for today's quiz are acting athletes, bee people, sports mascots, television, music, capital cities, and film adaptations. It's actually a second to last question I was talking about. So at the end of round two, the capital cities question.
Interesting. And for you, we have countries, we have TV shows, we have, what do we have here? We have words and what they mean.
Ooh, goody.
Yeah, we have books.
Lovely.
And we have sports.
Lovely.
As well as some other goodies. Yes.
All right. So we have some literature and sports overlap, it sounds like. And television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. But before we get to all that, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
That sounds good to me.
Mark, how was Nice Guys Pizza Trivia on Wednesday this week?
It was good. We had a good little group going. The first round went to Scott and Rachel with 27 points, winning by 1 point, besting the team Doo Wop by 1 point. That was Kenya, who is a Patreon subscriber. She came back with a full team this time, 6 people. So she beat Scott and Rachel by 1 point. The proverbial lakekeeper Matt, playing with one other person, I believe, with 25 points in the first round. So the three of them doing very, very well, just kind of jumping out ahead. The second round went to team Doo Wop with 47 points, and then they ended up winning the whole night with 85 points, besting Scott and Rachel by 2 points with 83 points. Yes, absolutely.
Congratulations to Doo Wop.
Yeah, the two of them were doing very, very well. I had her message me afterwards saying, it seems like it's a who line is it anyway point system. They don't know how you score points. So I always forget, as we've talked about before, I do my scoring and I always forget to tell people like how many points each question is. And usually no one asks. They just kind of, unless they're like, you know, how did this work? Or we were close. Like, what's the story here? But I explained it to her and she was like, oh, okay. I sent her like where, what all the points were, you know, what all the questions were worth. And she was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah. But, it's a more relaxed atmosphere over on your Zoom trivia than on the Twitch stream. A lot of that stuff is automated for me, you know, the answering system and stuff like that. You're doing it old school pub trivia style, tabulating the points yourself.
Yeah.
So it's a little different vibe, but you know, it's two different flavors.
Yeah. Tell me about your flavor. How was Thursday?
We had a packed night. We had 50 players overall throughout the evening. Quiz 65, our first general knowledge quiz, went to H-Bomb and Friends, who officially has broken his slump. He's on a bit of a slump there. But we had a slump breaker with Quiz 65, 81,698 points to H-Bomb. Quiz 66 was won by Kenya, who had 80,330. Oh, nice. And then we had a TV theme song identification round, which went to Frogman Bones, which would be John Lane from the band Pangolin. Check them out. 113,235 points to him on the TV theme song identification. So it was a fun time.
Fantastic.
Folks, remember, you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Just find the link to that in the description of this episode or on the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/No Nonsense Trivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
I don't know about the night energy on that one.
I noticed that I was 100% in on going high, mm-hmm. And I heard you go. Whoa, I was like, oh no. This is
we needed more voices in there.
Oh, it's fine. Hey, it had that like it had like a monk chant along with a castrato feel.
Oh, very historical.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah.
The two may be related.
All right, let's take a little break and then we'll come back with some trivia questions for each other in round one. Okay, we're back. Mark, my first question, as I mentioned to you in the intro, deals with acting athletes. Athletes. Before earning acclaim as the runaway slave Jim in a 1960 film adaptation of Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Archie Moore earned the nickname The Old Mongoose while competing in which sport?
The Old Mongoose.
Mm-hmm.
1960. What does a mongoose do? Pretty wily, I think. I definitely don't know this. I'm sussing and guessing. Well, I'm kind of thinking something where you have to, like, get out of tight spots. I'm wondering if it isn't football, like being a running back, like squeezing between defenders and stuff. I don't think it makes much sense for baseball or basketball. Probably not hockey. Mongoose for golf? No. Tennis? No. I think, I mean, it could be something like rugby? Maybe? Mongoose. Yeah, I think I'm just going to guess football. It's a well-known sport, and I think I keep thinking like being able to like wriggle out of stuff. I don't really know what mongoose traits he would be attributed with to call him the old mongoose, but I'm going to say football.
No, Mark, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Mm. The correct answer is boxing. Another sport that you must dodge and weave in. Archie Moore, he was actually the longest reigning world light heavyweight champion of all time. He held the world light heavyweight championship from December of 1952 to May of 1962. He had 131 knockouts to his name, more than any other American boxer. Second only in total knockouts to the British boxer Billy Byrd, who had 138. So just seven more. And after retirement, before getting into acting, Moore trained Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, and James Tillis.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your first question?
Please.
This is episode 112.
112. Did you bring a theme again?
112s.
Really?
Is a line given by a referee in a wrestling match in what cult movie? 112s is a line given by a referee in a wrestling match in what cult movie? It is a comedy.
112s. Well, I don't know this immediately. A wrestling match in a cult comedy. And you want the name of the movie?
I do.
Okay. Wrestling matches in cult comedies. Well, Rocky Horror Picture Show comes to mind as a cult comedy. Army of Darkness I would consider to be a cult comedy. Evil Dead, its predecessor, is funny, but I wouldn't call Evil Dead a comedy outright. But Army of Darkness, Mark, you've seen that one, right?
I have.
Pretty funny.
Yes.
More funny than scary.
I think so.
It's got some like gross makeup effects and everything, but I don't remember any wrestling match in those. And let's see here. Shock Treatment. That is the spiritual sequel that we mentioned on the podcast to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is got a bunch of TV studios in it. There could be a wrestling match there. Hulk Hogan shows up in Gremlins 2, but he was a movie actor at the time too, so he was more of like a pop culture icon. I don't remember any wrestling in that. 112s. 112s. What does that even mean?
I will tell you that the movie came out in 1998. I use cult movie. I don't know. I would say it is culty. I think so. But it is definitely a comedy. It came out in 1998.
There was that David Arquette movie, Ready to Rumble, that was all about wrestling. He's a big wrestling fan, and I know that there is a documentary coming out about him re-entering the wrestling world called You Can't Kill David Arquette. Ready to Rumble. Did that come out in 98? I feel like that came out maybe a couple years after. And you said it was like a wrestling match that happens in the movie.
Yes.
That doesn't like scream like the movie is about wrestling. The way that you word that makes it sound like it's just a movie and there happens to be a wrestling match in it. 98. That's early. That's too early for old school. There is a wrestling match in that. Rest in peace, Blue. You might remember. That's how, spoiler alert, Blue dies in old school.
You're my boy,
he's
Blue.
A mud wrestler. He's in a mud wrestling match and he becomes so horny that it kills him.
Gets so horned up. Is it mud?
Maybe it's jelly. Oh, no, it's KY Jello. Jelly.
Oh, it's
KY Jelly. They order a huge canister of it and come to his office to tell him that they can only get into the industrial canister size.
What a shame.
And he says something like, I don't want you to tell me. I want you to deal with it. That's Todd Phillips directed that, who directed Joker. So, you know, he's had quite the career trajectory there.
Indeed.
1998. I guess I'll go with Ready to Rumble. It could be like Dude, Where's My Car? Maybe. I don't really remember wrestling in that, though. And Ready to Rumble, I know, at least has a wrestling ring in it. Why not?
Ready to Rumble. Sorry, that's incorrect. The character Herman Bloom says,
oh, God damn it. Rushmore.
Yes. Says, you're on the team. And, Jason Schwartzman's character, Max Fisher, says, I'm an alternate. 112. Yes.
Damn, that stings. You got me.
And, and actually I that's the only 112 I have, but I was thinking of episode 112 and, 112 jumped out to me. I actually looked up the script, and originally the number was 110s, but it was changed in filming to 112s. Also, an interesting, I think it's just the number given to like certain payers. Mm-hmm. So like when you say 112s, it's like this wrestler for this team, you know, you're given a number.
I see.
Also, an interesting little bit of information, Alexis Bledel was an uncredited student in Rushmore. Mm-hmm. She plays Rory Gilmore in the Gilmore Girls, and she's also in Handmaid's Tale. So she's in there. She's a student in one of the classes.
There is also a actress that is in Rushmore and Old School, funny enough.
Sarah Tanaka.
Right. That's right. What's her character's name in Rushmore again?
Margaret Yang.
And then she plays Jeremy Piven's foil in Old School.
Yes, yes. I had a huge crush on her.
Understandable.
Thank you, Conan O'Brien.
Bee people is the category that I have for you. Bee people.
Now, do you mean like buzz, like I'm a bee?
Well, you've seen Bee Movie, right?
I told you I want to fuck a bee. Paul F. Tompkins stand up.
That is a great bit.
Oh, yes.
No, different context. I'm actually going to need you to identify what I mean by that. Charles Darwin, Winston Churchill, Adolf Hitler, Fidel Castro, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Barack Obama, Carl Jung, Franz Kafka, Marcel Proust, James Joyce, J.R.R. Tolkien, Gertrude Stein, H.P. Lovecraft, Elvis Presley, Frank Zappa, Bob Dylan, Prince, Mark Zuckerberg, and Trevor Noah would all be considered bee people in Scandinavian countries, which indicates that they are what? What do all of these people have in common that would make them bee people in Scandinavian countries?
Now, just for some clarification, are you saying that they would all be considered a blank person and the word begins with B?
No, bee people is the designation for people that share this habit and trait.
Okay. Habit and trait.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that list, the whole list again.
I can give you the last names if you'd like. Take half the time.
Well, I'm trying to think of just the ones that you had mentioned. Mao Zedong, Elvis Presley, Marcel Proust, Gertrude Stein, Trevor Noah. Well, I don't think that they're... Well, vegetarian? I'm kind of going off of the limited stuff I know about Hitler, because I know a lot of people, you know, fascinated with people that murder millions of people. Well-documented, he's vegetarian. I'm trying to think of all the other people. Is Barack Obama? Is he a vegetarian? Mao Zedong? Trevor Noah, I could see being. Gertrude Stein. Marcel Proust. Stalin? Jesus Christ.
Mark Zuckerberg?
No, Mark Zuckerberg eats meat because there was the famous video of him grilling.
Just hanging out in my backyard.
Just grilling. Got the green egg. All right. Well, that gets rid of that. You said traits or... You said something.
Traits I don't think you would call this like a personality. I mean, personality trait slash habit, I guess.
Habit was the word you used.
Yeah.
Habit. Geez. A B person. So a B person in comparison to an A person? What would make someone a B person? They do this thing. They have this thing that makes them a B person in what context? Biting their fingernails or like, man, left-handed. I don't think Elvis Presley was left-handed. Though we did just have left-handed day. No, it's not a habit, though. Habit.
I guess I mean habit in the context of a behavior as well.
Oh, now you're confusing me all over the place.
A way of being.
A way of being? Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go... I don't know. Because left-handed day just happened, I'm going to go with they're all left-handed. I'm going to go with left-handed.
Wrong. No, Mark. Sorry, that's wrong. The answer is they are all night owls. They all favor the nighttime. In Scandinavian countries, they are referred to as bee people. A people are up during the day, and bee people prefer the night hours to think and toil and what have you.
Okay. All right. Here is your next question. What three countries make up the Baltic states?
The Baltic states would be around the Baltic Sea, I believe. And
when you get a tick on your nutsack.
What?
You get a, you get a ball tick. Bringing that night energy.
A ball tick. Very good. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Nutsack, what? Stop distracting me. Serbia? Czechoslovakia? The Czech Republic? Not Czechoslovakia. The Czech Republic and Slovakia. I'm going to separate those two and add Serbia, and that's going to be my answer.
That is incorrect.
Mm. Am I in the right part of the world?
As a matter of fact, you did not get one of them.
Oh, no.
The correct ones are Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania.
Okay, so I just got to move my
just a little
locator over a couple thousand miles, probably.
There. Yeah, there you go. Just a little
Estonia. Can, one more time, please.
Estonia.
I'm trying to remember this. Yeah.
Estonia,
mm-hmm.
Latvia.
Latvia.
And Lithuania.
And Lithuania.
Let me ask you this question. Do you remember the five mother sauces?
Tomato.
Uh-huh.
Béarnaise. Hollandaise. Cream. And what am I missing?
You're missing a bunch. I think béarnaise is not one and neither is cream. Tomato and hollandaise are.
Oh. Do you remember?
I just looked this up like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I was like hell bent on remembering, but no, I don't. Even it's something with a V. Vowel something. And then there's oh boy.
Velouté.
Yeah, velouté.
Espanol.
Uh-huh.
Bechamel.
Yeah.
Not béarnaise. Bechamel, tomato, yes. And espanol.
Yes.
Which is the tomato sauce, I believe.
No, tomato is
it's brown. It's brown.
Tomato is a sauce. Tomato and hollandaise are the two that you got.
Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are the Baltic countries.
Yes.
Okay. Don't ask me again.
Okay. Consider it done.
Not for another 50 episodes. You can come back and re-quiz me. That's fine. We should be trying to remember this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Sports mascots is my last question of round one for you, Mark.
All right.
Chance the Gila Monster is the mascot for which city's NHL team?
Chance the Gila Monster?
Is the mascot for which city's NHL team?
Hmm. Well, I don't know much about hockey. But knowing the world, which I also don't know much about, two bad tastes that taste bad together. Watch as I magically fuck everything up. I would guess it has to be somewhere like in the southwest, southeast region. Is there a New Mexico or Arizona team? Texas. I'm trying to think like where Gila monsters are. I think that they're mostly down here though. Florida, Louisiana. God, what teams? Well, you know, there is the Las Vegas Knights or whatever, Gold Knights. But would they have a Gila monster as a fucking mascot? When you're the Golden Knights? To have a big ass knight. And that's the other thing. Like no team has like the, no team is like the something, something Gila monsters that I know of. So it's kind of like they'd have to be like something else. Like the Cleveland Browns. What the hell's a brown? So they have the have the brown, they have the brownie elf. You're the one broaching that shit. They have the brownie elf, and then they also have the dog pound. D-A-W-G. Dowg. Mm-hmm. Because Brown is named after Paul Brown. So every once in a while, like, there's something like that, and I kind of think that this might have to be that kind of situation. I don't know why, but I keep thinking of, I don't know why the town is escaping me, but the town that Breaking Bad was recorded in. Talk about yelling at your fucking stereo. It's in New Mexico. Why can I not think of it? Starts with an A. I don't even know if it's worth... Oh God, this is when I get most frustrated. When I can't even think of an answer that I'm pretty sure is wrong. It's like, should I even bother sitting here trying to, like, save face while people are listening to me publicly fucking embarrass myself not remembering the city in one of my favorite fucking TV shows? And then be like, okay,
well,
I got that.
When you put it like that, Mark, it sounds like it's worth it. You should try.
You know, I thought that my brain would be like jump started, but I think it's just like completely frazzled.
Wrong.
Oops, I meant to do this.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. You know, there's so many other sounds on there. The alligator's nuts. I feel like there's so many we haven't used.
You know, it's hard to find the context or to remember.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
Like, oh, I need to hit the point, E button when Mark says something about a Baltic to get the alligator.
Fudge.
Nope, see, that's not it.
Good job.
Good, good, good. All right.
Good, good, good. I guess otherwise you just sound like a morning DJ.
Yeah. Which has, you know, I've been collecting some sounds over the past couple episodes. One day we'll clean up the soundboard. I'm sure they'll make an appearance, some of these other sounds. There's one of you laughing maniacally, I think, here. Nope, I don't. I lied. I don't have it.
Oh my Christ. This is so frustrating and embarrassing. Well, I am just going to focus again instead on the answer to the question.
Okay.
Does Phoenix have a hockey team? Is that Arizona, New Mexico, California, like Southern California, like the Kings, LA, there's the LA Kings. Is there another LA? See, like the Kings, I could see them not having a king. A Golden Knight would be kind of badass. The LA Kings, Oh, who's your mascot? Oh, King Wenceslaus. It's kind of stupid. What do I want to say? Louisiana. Do the New Orleans, do they have a team? I don't think so. Texas. Dallas, the Dallas Stars. Ooh, Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars, maybe. Talk about not having a fucking mascot. You're a fucking star. Man, Dallas Stars, I think. I'm going to go with Dallas Stars.
No, Mark, I'm sorry. The correct answer is the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
It is the Golden Knights.
It is the Golden Knights.
Son of a bitch. What a fucking blown opportunity.
You basically had it. If you wouldn't have moved on from there. Yes, Chance the Gila Monster made his debut in 2017. The Golden Knights did consider a dragon character and other designs based on more traditional style mascots like the Philly Fanatic. But ultimately, they crafted a story around Chance about how a slow Gila monster could learn to skate after discovering hockey's powers to become a golden Gila monster. The costume itself was designed by V-Star Entertainment in Minneapolis, and it features a Las Vegas-style disco ball on the back of the head. And the character Chance is actually performed by character actor Clint McComb, who was hired on the basis of his ability to backflip while in character as Rampage for the Los Angeles Rams. He became known for the backflipping mascot, and he was hired based on that. I don't think he's done any backflips on the ice as Chance the Gila Monster. That would be taking a big chance, I think. But yeah, I recently watched the Christopher Guest movie Mascots. Mark, have you ever seen that?
No,
I think it's his latest one. You know, he did A Mighty Wind and Spinal Tap and Best in Show. I think we talked about Christopher Guest on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen Christopher Guest movies for sure. I've seen Best in Show, Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration and other stuff. But
it's, you know, in line with those. If you enjoyed those, I would recommend it.
You know, thinking about it now, Chance in Las Vegas.
I didn't even think about that.
Should have been a fucking dead giveaway. The good news is I remember
it was built in. The quizmaster didn't even have to get the joke.
If I would have thought a little further. The good news is I did remember Albuquerque finally.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to give it to him, you know. I didn't want to interfere with your sus.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, plus if you would have told me, I would have known that it wasn't that, and I think part of the joy is, you know, keep on fighting.
Right.
All right. You ready for your last question of the first round?
Yes.
A villanelle is a type of what? A villanelle. V-I-L-L-A-N-E-L-L-E. Villanelle.
Well, obviously it calls to mind villain. But it's not spelled the same, right? There's an I missing, it sounds like.
V-I-L-L-A-N-E-L-L-E.
Mm-hmm. And L. L. So I have a prefix and a suffix here. Villain and L. I'm just going to try and break this down. And I don't know either. Villain will just say bad, because it sounds like villain. Maybe there's a some association there, common origin of the word. L. It sounds French.
He's really in it, folks.
Yeah, I'm gonna abandon the bad thing, I think, because a villa is like a home, a style of home, and I don't think there's like anything malicious in the origin of that word. So maybe it's like where you live, L, that suffix. I don't know. We were just talking about the mother sauce's bechamel, but that's spelled differently, and that's a sauce. L. Bechamel. L'Oreal. Michelle, my belle. I can't figure out what the L suffix is. Michelle is the closest one that we have because it's spelled similarly. Bechamel is spelled differently. L. I don't know why it sounds like it's like some kind of place. I keep thinking of et, like a kitchenette, like the E-T-T-E, like it's like a small kitchen. So I want to be like, oh, it's like a small villa, a villanelle. But that's a different suffix. It's a totally different word. So it's got to mean something else. I don't know. I'm going to say a villa. Now, maybe it's like a hometown. Like a villa is like a home, and an L is maybe a collection of those. I guess that would be like a village, collection of homes. But I don't know. Hometown is my answer. That's what I would write down and laugh at myself.
That is incorrect. You'd be surprised to know.
Not at all.
The correct answer, it is a type of poem.
Huh, okay.
The most popular poem that is a type of that is a villanelle would be "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night." Is a villanelle.
What classifies that as a villanelle?
It is the structure. It is the way that the lines are and the refrains. So I could
limerick in the, like the way that it's structured defines its label as a villanelle.
So it's a 19 line poetic form consisting of 5 tercets followed by a quatrain. There are 2 refrains and 2 repeating rhymes with the first and third line of the first tercet repeated alternately at the end of each subsequent stanza until the last stanza, which includes both repeated lines.
Man, people had a lot of time on their hands.
I'm telling you. they really did. You know, there was no Netflix and chill.
Back put a quad was... natural on the end of those 5 tercels. What did you say they were? 5 what?
I can't remember. I closed it. It was too much.
Okay. A villanelle, though, is a type of poem.
Indeed.
Hmm. All right. Well, that is 3 from you and 3 from me, right?
It is.
Let's take a little break, and then we've got 1 miscorrection here to get through, and then we will have some more trivia in round 2. Back, we've got a miscorrection to take care of. Mark, we'll just listen to this nice little intro here by David Holbrook.
Miscorrection.
So cool, so jazzy. I
yes.
love it. This miscorrection comes to us from Andrew. Andrew writes, "Hi guys, quick miscorrection. While sussing during the Irving Berlin question, it was said that Andrew Lloyd Webber did." Quote unquote, did Beauty and the Beast. The music for Beauty and the Beast was done by Alan Menken, and the lyrics were by Howard Ashman. I do not believe Weber had anything to do with the film or the musical. Mm. Also, the duo that John was thinking of that wrote music for all the old Disney movies would be the Sherman Brothers. Thanks, Andrew. Yes. Thank you, yeah. Andrew.
Yes, thank you. I would not be surprised if a bunch of stuff we sussed was very, very wrong. I always feel weird when people, I shouldn't say weird. I like being corrected and I like knowing the information. And of course, when we're sussing, it's like pillow talk. Mm-hmm. I never really think of it anything. Afterward. but you know, it's like I'm just spitballing, but how much stuff I have. I can't imagine the amount of stuff I've gotten wrong that people haven't miscorrected. I don't know what other stuff, if anything, we got right while we were trying to guess, you know, Stephen Sondheim and what he did and so and so. Like, Jesus, I'd be embarrassed to know.
Oh, my gosh. You know what he did? I found out recently that Stephen Sondheim did that I had no idea was Dick Tracy. He did the lyrics to the songs in Dick Tracy.
Wow.
With Danny Elfman doing the music.
Oh, okay.
So interesting collaboration there.
I would like to watch that movie again.
It struck me as kind of like a proto Sin City. You know, like Warren Beatty is like making this ambitious comic movie where he's trying to make it look like a comic book. You know, there's all this like heavy makeup and heavy stylization. The fight scenes is like the speed is like sped up. The timing is sped up. So it looks like they're like fighting faster than they are. But overall, I would say it's a pretty enjoyable experience, even if it does feel a little bit weird and just like off-putting as far as like the visual effects go and some of the content, like Al Pacino slapping Madonna around, does not produce like good feelings, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like treated seriously either. Like if you go look at like what the movie's rated, it's rated PG, you know, and it's like female character gets lightly slapped is what it says. But he like wallops her in the movie. I'm like, Jesus, like as soon as it happens, like, fuck.
Jesus,
what is this rated? And I go look and it's like one of the characters is lightly slapped.
PG.
Yeah.
Make sure your daughter sees this.
Thank you, Andrew, for the miscorrection.
Thank you very much. And if you want to write in with a rate my question. You can do
so at nonsensetrivia@gmail.com.
There it is.
Or call us.
Yeah.
At 1-929-356-6966. We'd love to hear your voices.
Are you ready?
I am.
Arica. A port city that was formerly in Peru is now a part of what country?
Ecuador, Bolivia. Peru. Let's see here. Could be another coastal city. Argentina is very large, but that's on the south part of South America. I think Peru is more northern.
In a coastal town that they forgot to close down. That's me doing Colin Malloy doing
The Smiths. Okay. I was like, interesting Morrissey, but I see it's a Colin Malloy doing Morrissey.
Yes.
But is that song have anything to do with South America? Or you're just picking up on the coastal town thing?
There you are.
Okay. All right. I was like, is that a hint? I guess I'll go with, I don't know, Bolivia. I think there's some ports in Bolivia. I know Wu-Tang talks about cocaine straight from Bolivia.
Their hip-hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah, so I'll go with Bolivia.
That's incorrect.
Wu-Tang!
Wu-Tang! The correct answer is Chile's baby back ribs.
Oh, Chile.
So there was a giant earthquake there some time ago that kind of put Arica on the map. And after that, for whatever reason, the lines were redrawn. And Arica is now no longer a part of Peru. It is a part of Chile.
Okay.
Good to know.
Good to know. Mark, I have a television question for you to kick off round two.
Okay.
Now, did you say you've never seen The Sopranos? Am I remembering that correctly?
You are remember that correctly.
I remember that correctly. Okay.
You do.
So we're going to see how well you know kind of the show just by its place in the pop culture zeitgeist then with this question. On The Sopranos, what is the name of Tony and Carmela's daughter? All right, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It is a name that is derived from an old English word that means to reap or to mow.
I know that the name of their club thing is the Bada Bing, which I was desperately hoping that was going to be your question.
That, I feel, is a popular television trivia question in general. So this one's a little bit deeper than that.
An old what?
It's derived from the old English word that means to reap or to mow.
Jesus, I have no idea. To reap or to mow. A time to reap, a time to mow. A time to cast away stones. A time to ask me about shows I've never seen. I guess just like you can point questions at someone and edge them with information that makes it so tantalizing that they should know, but they don't. You can also just lay a fucking question out that is so far from anything that they know that it seems and feels like a complete waste of their time. Like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like, you know, but I feel like some, you know, The Sopranos was a huge hit. And I was like, maybe Mark would know this just from, like, it, you know, her being a main cast member of the show.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if you mentioned the name and I was like, oh, I, you know.
Can you name any characters from that show besides Tony and Carmela?
No, I don't think so. I think there's someone that's called, like, Little Something or something.
Yeah,
I know
there is Little Something. I know, that's how Ben Shapiro would put it.
Stevie Van Zandt is in it. I know that. Lauren.
No. Wrong. Meadow Soprano is her name. Meadow Soprano.
Oh, Meadow. That's a weird fucking name. I wonder if they had sex in a meadow and that's how she was birthed.
That's how you were birthed, Meadow. You were conceived in a meadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would I be recommend disgusting. The show. It's
Yeah, I know you just did a rewatch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you done with it?
Almost. We're in
so
last season.
You've been almost done with it for
I'm
weeks.
Out of the rewatch because I never did see the final season. So I am on first watch of final season. So very exciting times.
It's your last watch. Mm-hmm. It's like a Game of Thrones for you. All right. You ready for your next question?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just picking all the delicious, tasty ones. The Shannon number, is a number associated with what game? S-H-A-N-N-O-N. The Shannon number is a number associated with what game?
Is this another cricket score?
Maybe.
The Admiral Nelson? The Shannon number. On the Twitch stream, we have what's called the Milky Way ratio, which is what we call when only two players get a question right, because that happened on a question about the Milky Way one time. So I don't know if this has a similar lineage, like it happened once and it was like, oh, we're going to call this the Shannon number now. You're asking what sport it could be in. It could be in any sport that has numbering.
Just for clarification, yeah. I said game.
Game. Okay, so it could be any game that has numbering. Scrabble has a pretty heavy focus on scores, points. The Shannon number. Chess. Chess is a game, but it's also a sport. I wonder if you're like, is this a game? Can you tell me if this is like a competitive game? Or is it all leisure? Is it like Trouble, Pop-O-Matic Trouble? Or is there a competitive element to
it? I'm just going to leave it at game.
Okay. Shannon. Michael Shannon, actor Michael Shannon. Does he play any games? Acting games? Maybe it's a social game like Mafia or Werewolf or 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. I don't know if there's any variance on that. Snaps. You remember Snaps?
What is Snaps?
Snaps is where you try to figure out a word. It's like a social game where you try to figure out a word and you clap the syllables, I think, or the vowels. Something. You substitute snaps or claps for something.
Yeah.
I remember playing that in your living room with like 20 people. It was like, it wasn't even like anybody's like birthday or anything. You just had a bunch of people over. Just sitting around shooting the shit, playing
Very
snaps.
Very frustrating.
The Shannon number.
Sounds like a band name.
Yeah.
Come out and see my band, the Shannon number. We're playing at
definitely a local band name. My ex's name is Shannon. It's not local, her phone number.
Local and no further. If you get any further, you have to change your name. Label's going, hey, look, theme's gotta go.
You need something. Numbers are out. Now you need something like Vertical Horizon.
There used to be a band around here called Olive Carpet. Like, that's the kind of name where it's like when you hit the big time, they go, hey. Psst.
Yeah.
No, not anymore. Not like this, you aren't.
Corn ruined it for everyone.
That we backwards are.
Yeah.
Keyboard people everywhere were like, what do we do? Alt 2577 is a backwards R now. Hurry. What do we do?
That's how you could tell the true fans on the message boards back in the day. Who's going and putting in the R properly? He's paying the respect.
I probably would have just used like the restrict or the like, is it restricted or reserved? The R with a circle around
registered.
It? Registered. Duh. Every other R word in the world.
This word is restricted.
Yeah, you can't use it.
The Shannon number. I'm going to go with Scrabble.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. You did gloss over it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Named after the American mathematician Claude Shannon, it's a conservative lower bound, not an estimate, of the game tree complexity of chess of 10 to the 120th power, based on an average of about 10 to the third power possibilities for a pair of moves, consisting of a move for white, followed by one for black, and a typical game lasting about 40 such pairs of moves.
So you would use this number to figure out the probability of an opening?
It is the possible number of beginnings.
Oh, okay. The total number of possible beginnings is known as the Shannon number?
Yes. It's game tree complexity. The lower bound of the game tree complexity of chess. He also estimated the number of possible positions of the general order of 64 over. I mean, I can't even understand these fucking numbers.
When did this guy live?
Did he ever
live? That's not what I meant, but like what time period?
No, yeah. Claude Shannon lived 1916 to 2001. He was an electrical engineer, a cryptographer, and is known as the father of information theory.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He is responsible for a landmark paper called A Mathematical Theory of Communication, published in 1948. He also is well known for founding digital circuit design theory in 1937. He was a 21-year-old master's degree student at MIT. Just a certified genius.
Wow. Musicians, Mark, is your next category.
Okay.
Well, let's call it singers.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right. Narrow the mm-hmm. field a little bit.
What pop princess was named the voice of a generation at the 13th ALMA Awards in 2012? That would be ALMA, the ALMA Awards in 2012. What pop princess was named the voice of a generation at the 13th ALMA Awards in 2012?
Eight years ago, pop princess. ALMA Awards. Did you say what ALMA stands for? No,
I didn't.
Okay.
Bit of a puzzle for you to unlock in this question. Might give you a hint. Well, do you know what it means?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Would you like to know?
No.
Oh, okay. Too proud.
I'm not too, you know.
You're
you
too
know
proud how, to beg.
Sweet darling. Please don't leave me, Lee. Don't you go. You know how I am. Like, I don't, I like having the amount of information that's initially given.
Okay.
I try, everybody else loves a hint. I am of the opinion that I my stance has softened a bit because of the edging.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
like,
understand how it is.
Well, I mean,
I want to take you there, but not all the way.
There were like some questions, like when I asked the U.S. Acres question a couple weeks back, where I was like, "This Garfield, and I'm going to ask Garfield and Friends, and everyone's going to go, oh, well, it's U.S. Acres." And it's like, well, I can't give too much information because it's already too easy. And it's not until everyone says, I don't know, and looking at me with befuddled looks that I go, oh, shit. Okay. The main character's name is Orson. You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's when the edging comes in. You know, you say Sheldon. Maybe that's the thing that tips someone off and they go, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I understand where you're asking this now. Maybe Mark knows what ALMA is and he answers right off and I don't. And you go, okay, well, maybe it'd be fun to tell him what ALMA stands for. 2012, 8 years ago, a voice of a generation. I am gonna say, I wonder if it's Latin Music Awards. The American Latin Music Association. That's funny because I was just about to guess Taylor Swift. But 8 years. God. Time is not my friend. So if it is Latin, if that's what I'm going to go with, is that what I'm going to go with? Is that my decision? No one to suss with? Hey, what do you think?
I don't think you should do it. I say we let him go. Do you remember what that's from?
No.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, okay.
When he's getting threatened by the bikers, they're all arguing about what they should do with him, and he says, I think we should let him go. It's so good.
Latin music, voice of a generation 8 years ago, if I'm going with that, then who sings and does that kind of stuff? Who is that one chick that did that one song from, and she did like the Grammys or not the, she did, what did she do? The Grammys or something? And she did the giant thing inside the house, like the building. She did the thing from like fucking West Side Story or whatever. Mm. Fudge. Oh, that's one of those sounds. Fudge. Fudge. There it is. Fudge. Oh, what's your name, woman? Please come to me. Voice of a generation. I wonder if it's someone dead. What if it's Selena? Voice of a generation. 2012. She died a while ago, but people still wear her short shirts. Latin music. I'm going to say Selena.
That is a very good guess, Mark. And you're right. ALMA stands for American Latino Media Arts. It's more than just music.
Okay.
But you're barking up the right tree. Wow. The right answer is Christina Aguilera.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The award came 13 years after her major label debut, which was titled Christina Aguilera. She came out in 1999. Since then, she's earned 5 Grammy Awards, 1 Latin Grammy Award, and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And aside from being honored as the voice of a generation, Aguilera would later go on to serve as a coach on the Voice reality television series.
You're beautiful, no matter what they say.
It's a great song.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's. I'm really glad there was someone like her to, you know, be that kind of person for girls, and you know, pumping them up like that.
I would even say for everyone. I think that song in particular, she won some awards from different organizations, LGBTQ organizations and stuff,
mm-hmm.
For that award. Very inspirational song. She's had very a couple different phases of her career too, which is kind of interesting. But it's not easy, I can imagine. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I was going to ask you a question about books, but I'm not going to anymore. I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
Because I know you love your questions, and this is kind of like a your question. How old was Michael Jackson when I Want You Back was released? Boop. Boop-doop-boop-doop-doop.
Right. Okay. So that's Jackson. That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, is that a Jackson 5 song? And it is.
What a jam.
He was young. He was young.
Like Y-U-N-G.
I might even say like 5. He was like super young, maybe a little bit older, but I'm thinking between 5 and 10 for sure. Can't be older than 10. Maybe he was, though. Maybe that wasn't that early of a song. They had ABC. Maybe ABC was the follow-up to I Want You Back. Maybe I Want You Back was the first one. I'm gonna go with six. I'm gonna say 6 years old. Very, very young. Five maybe a little too early cognitively, but I don't know. He was, I mean, obviously like a young genius with his talent. So it's gotta be somewhere around there. I'm going with six.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Okay. How far off was I?
The correct answer is 11.
Oh, okay.
Still very young.
Was that their first young. Single?
Yes.
Okay. So I was just off.
Yes.
He looks so much. He looks so little in those old videos.
Yeah, he was a tiny little guy.
Mm-hmm. 11. Okay.
Indeed.
I guess I overestimated Michael Jackson. His professional reputation precedes him. Professional reputation.
What a loser.
Capital cities, Mark, is my last question of the round for you. Which capital city is technically the highest national capital city in the world by elevation and is located in the first country in the world to officially recognize the rights of nature in 2008?
One more time.
This is the one, by the way, that had too many hints of it. So this is a simplified version.
Okay.
Which capital city is technically the highest national capital city in the world by elevation and is located in the first country in the world to officially recognize the rights of nature in 2008?
Trying to think of like where the pact was or whatever for cutting down emissions. I'm wondering if that may be where it is. The Kyoto Treaty? But I don't think that's it. I don't think Kyoto is a capital city. It isn't. That I know of. Because I think Kyoto is in Japan. And I don't think Kyoto is a capital of Japan. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in Europe. Man, those like Norwegians, those Scandinavians love nature. They're wild about that shit. We know it's not America. Do not give a fuck.
The government, anyway. The people, some of the people give a fuck.
Some of the people. I mean, you know, I think everyone gives a fuck until, like, you know, it's all lines in the sand, Lee. Here's the thing. It's all lines in the sand. Everyone gives a fuck until a certain point where they're like, okay, well, can't live without that, or I can't do without that, or, you know, I can do without that, but I can't do without this. You know, like, some people will be like, less toilet paper. I'll use a bidet, and some people are like, no, I'm out. Like, you know, everyone's just got like certain things that they can do without, and others are just like, yeah, I care, but I don't care that much, you know.
Freedom, baby.
Well, I mean, like, you know, veganism is a pretty good example. There are so many different studies that say the amount of land we would save and the amount of this and the other thing we would save by using land for crops instead of, you know, feeding animals that feed way less people. We'd be able to, you know, feed the world many times over, and it would be better for the environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And still people are just like, yeah, but honestly, I really like steak, and so, you know, sorry. You know, everybody's just got, you know, they gotta be happy, and everyone's happiness, you know, hinges on something different. Oslo, Norway. Is that up there? It's a decent guess, I guess. I'm going to say Oslo.
No, Mark, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Would you like a couple of the hints that I had in this question earlier that I thought might have congested them?
Sure. Yeah, let's see what you got.
This is also the world's largest exporter of bananas.
Okay, maybe South America.
And one other fact that I saw on Wikipedia, but I'm not sure if it actually checks out, so I'll just phrase it this way. They were one of the first countries in the world to ban executions, state executions, in 1906.
Brazil?
No, it's Ecuador.
Ecuador, okay. Huh.
Ecuador.
South America.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, yeah. We love some South America.
Yep. So Quito is the capital city that I'm asking about. And Quito is 2,850 meters above sea level. La Paz in Bolivia is 3,640, but Bolivia actually has three different cities that comprise its capitals. So if you're talking about a singular city, Quito is the highest city by elevation in the world. Unless you count La Paz, which is the seat of government in Bolivia, while Sucre is the constitutional capital of Bolivia, which itself is 40 meters below Quito.
Mm. I guess you're going on a keto diet. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right.
Take a break.
You make that kind of pun joke anytime you want, Mark.
Thank you.
We love the wordplay around here.
Thank you.
Don't be ashamed.
I feel so at home. Let's take a break. And it's my understanding that we have a couple of Rate My Questions.
That's right, Mark.
Finally.
There you go.
I got something right. Jesus Christ. And then we'll finish up with some final questions after these non-messages.
Mark, before we get started with our round three questions, we have a couple Rate My Questions to go over.
Rate My Question.
There he is.
Mark, I haven't heard my Mirror Ray.
Did you have any
Mirror Ray? Nega Ray.
Did you have anybody Ray your question this week?
Yeah, we had two.
Two
Ray My Questions on the Twitch stream. We do. You can, you know, redeem your no nonsense, you know, like dollars and cents, Mark.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you, when's the last time you've heard Ray Romano speak?
Decades ago.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like your Ray is like slipping away from you. And I was like, kind of wondering, I was like, that's not true. You listen to him in The Irishman.
Yeah, he's in the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I am, because I'm Ray.
I'm sorry, yes, Ray, of course.
I haven't heard your Ray. It's so long. Give thanks. There it is.
What's the name there of his, what's the name of his wife in the show?
Deborah.
Hey, Deborah. Get the carrots in the station wagon.
I feel like sometimes his voice does that crack thing.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't know what to do. I'm nervous.
What, you never heard of a late bloomer?
Can we make a poll to find out who does a better Ray?
Just write in and let us know. Yeah, let's do a poll. We'll do a poll in Facebook. I can't stand losing this, though, Mark. It's on my channel.
Please, come on. Oh, that was a Kermit the Frog. That was terrible.
It's easy to slip into the Kermit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a dangerous game. The most dangerous game.
Ray Kermano.
Fuck home hunting human beings. The real most dangerous game is not slipping into a Kermit while doing a Ray Romano.
You never want to do a Ray Kermano. We have a Rate My Question here, Mark, from Dylan.
Ah, Dylan.
Yes. Dylan says, hi, boys. Hope all is well. I was taking a break from sending you Rate My Questions constantly, But I heard this recently and it blew my mind. I don't think this is common knowledge, but figured I'd throw it your way. What 90s boy bander began training with cosmonauts and was planned to take a trip to the International Space Station in 2002, only missing the flight due to cardiac arrhythmia that was detected during a pre-flight check-in?
Do you know this?
I think I know this.
I do too.
Really? Should we say it on three?
Sure.
One, two, three. Lance Bass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of NSYNC. I think I remember hearing this news. Yes. Yeah.
Let's, Dylan was kind enough to include a link to the answer, a hidden link. Yes, we're right. We are correct.
All right. We got one question right, at least. it's a rate my question, but.
Mm-hmm. did you know his first name is James?
I did not.
James Lance Bass is his name. I did not know that. Dylan also writes, P.S. This artist reportedly still speaks fluent Russian, and the discovery of his cardiac arrhythmia during the check essentially saved his life, as he needed heart surgery soon after. That's a detail I did not know about this story.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would give that question an A+. Very, very good question. I don't know how common knowledge it is, I guess. I mean, it's general pop trivia.
I remember hearing about this, but I think, you know, maybe for some younger players, younger trivia aficionados, this one might be a little bit more difficult if you're not up to speed on your NSYNCs, you know, and your, well, this question has nothing to do with Backstreet Boys, so you don't need any information about them for it, but.
How would you feel about the question, boy bander Lance Bass was unable to go into flight due to what? And having to answer cardiac arrhythmia.
That is very difficult, I would say. I mean, that's a detail, you know, from the news story. I would say it's almost like that's interesting because so Dylan included this in the PS here. And I would say like the PS is kind of like the information that we give after we ask our questions, you know, but it's not like I don't know if that's if he's it's that well known for him, you know, as like a feature of his life. If he had died of it or something, I would say like that would be more, you know, sad to say fair game for trivia.
In so that's context, interesting because
dark as it is.
Well, we both knew that he planned to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we both know he didn't go.
Right.
Does it not make us curious to know why he didn't go?
It just doesn't feel like, I mean, the Lance Bass thing to me is like the notable part of that story.
Would you call it a notable?
Sure. I would now.
Okay.
I definitely would. A notable. That's what I would think is the notable of this story is like Lance Bass was planning to take a trip to space and was training with cosmonauts. While the other part is interesting, it is in the it's in the question. It says only missing the flight due to cardiac arrhythmia. Asking about that specifically, in my opinion, seems too hard. Like if Dylan had submitted that, I would be like, this seems a little difficult. You know, like maybe ask who it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do ask some hard questions on here, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that it's one of those things where sometimes the point of the question is to learn you something you didn't know. And granted, sometimes you can just do that with the postscript and letting someone know, letting people know something after the question is done. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But, you know, I think it might be one of those things where it's like, you know, Lance Bass was training with cosmonauts to go, you know, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, I know that. And it's like, okay, like that's the low hanging fruit. That's the easy question, but you know, he didn't go. And why didn't he go? And you start thinking, okay, well, like, why wouldn't someone be able to go? It's like, is it a vision problem? You know, I mean,
to me, it seems like almost like that, like if the answer was cardiac arrhythmia, I don't feel like Jeopardy would let that through. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like really hard. I don't know if that's like, it doesn't even seem like a common ailment that you would like think, like you were sussing like vision problems or something like that.
I guess it depends also on like what you'd accept as an answer. Heart problems, mm-hmm. you know, if you accepted heart problems, because the thing is like, there are a lot of issues that they will not let you go up in space because of,
mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like one of those things, that, could be kind of like a fun, like, you know, oh, well, it's because he, you know, is left-handed or some weird shit. You know what I mean? Like, because he can't pee in a tube or something like that, where it could be like some kind of like interesting or weird thing, rather than a health problem. But I don't know.
Well, I like the question regardless.
So do I.
It's a good question. Even if it's a little on the easy side, I guess we both knew it. You know, I'm sure we'll get another one from Dylan, a stumper at some point. We Indeed. Also have a question from Mike here, Rumpelsnailskin Mike.
Which Mike?
Mike says, Mike C. Mm. Rumpelsnailskin Mike C. Yeah.
Well, there's Michael C., Michael J., and Michael S., and they're all Rumpelsnailskin, so you
That's true. I do have to clarify here. Rumpelsnailskin Mike C. says, this has an easy and a hard version. So the easy version is there are 5 major inhabited U.S. territories. Name as many as you can. 1 point each. He gives us some scoring recommendations.
Oh, wow. Good.
And then the hard version is name any uninhabited U.S. territory. These seem like different questions because they have different answers, right?
Yeah.
5 major inhabited U.S. territories and name any uninhabited. So there's a theme that brings them together. But I would say these are 2 questions. This is not an easy and a hard. There is an easy question, and then there is a separate hard question.
Right, yeah. What do you know?
Inhabited U.S. territories, that would be Puerto Rico, right? American Samoa. Right?
Okay, you're talking like that. Okay. I didn't know. I thought he was talking about, like, sections of the United States.
Oh, like regions?
Yeah. Like, isn't that what they call them in Canada's territories?
Yes, they do.
That was what I was understanding. I mean, but you're probably right. You're probably right here.
Inhabited U.S. territories. Because, yeah, I mean, what an uninhabited U.S. territory, is there any region of the U.S. that has no habitation?
Maybe.
No. They're all habitated. Inhabited, I mean. They've all been habitated. You're doing a hell of a job, Brownie. Was I watching something last night? Oh yeah, that was on The Sopranos, actually. Tony said that to somebody, and I was like, ah, oh, that's a good reference. Like Michael Brown, the head of FEMA, George W. Bush had nicknames before there was Trump, and there was like a million things per day to make fun of the president about. There was George W. Bush, who had like a weekly gaffe, and he was known to have nicknames for his subordinates, and FEMA director Michael Brown had the unfortunate nickname of Brownie. Who he told him, "You're doing a hell of a job, Brownie."
Ah, yes, old Brownie.
Mm-hmm. Just a diminutive nickname, you know. Anytime you put like, "Hey, Marky,"
yeah, putting an E on the end of it, yeah. Terrible. Just clip the nuts right off of the person. Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. American Samoa.
There's
the Dominican Republic. 5.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dominican Republic.
Guam.
Mmm. A tasty one.
Any ideas on this last one? The Philippines. No. Philippines are not a U.S. territory. I feel like it's Pacific. Another Pacific.
There's the one place that uses the dollar, but it's not because they're a U.S. territory, right?
No, that's Ecuador.
Oh, yeah.
Another Ecuador. Ecuador's just like got tons of things on lock. It's like, we use the dollar. We're the world's biggest exporters of bananas. We're giving Mother Nature rights.
When you say Mother Nature rights, it sounds like you're saying motherfucking rights, but you're using it like a G version. Give me my Mother Nature rights.
No nonsense on Saturday morning television. Your Mother Nature rights. There it is. Let it out.
Shout, shout, let it all out.
What's the fifth one?
Guam, mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one?
American Samoa.
American Samoa. And
what's that fifth one?
It's not Haiti, right?
Nope.
We don't have all of Hispaniola.
It's not Haiti. It's not Cuba.
Guam. Trinidad and Tobago?
I don't think so. The Bahamas.
Okay, let's go with that.
I'm not sure about that.
Neither am I.
Okay, what about uninhabited? Do you know any Jesus uninhabited?
Christ. No, I have no idea.
No, that is very difficult.
Antarctica? No idea.
I don't think America's claimed that yet. List of territories of the United States. Let's see here. Okay, so here's what we got. Dominican Republic is not a territory of America. They have independence from us. Oops. So we're wrong about that. We were right about Puerto Rico, American Samoa, and Guam. The others would be Northern Mariana Islands, which I did not know, and U.S. Virgin Islands. We forgot about the U.S. Virgin Islands. Yes. And let's see here. Uninhabited. Let me see if we can find that real quick. Okay, there are several uninhabited territories that include Baker Island, Howland Island, Jarvis Island, Johnston Atoll, Kingman Reef, Midway Atoll, Navassa Island, Palmyra Atoll, and Wake Island.
I have not heard of any of those, I don't think.
No, they were all acquired in the 19th century, from about 1856 to 1899, and they're all uninhabited. So that's interesting. I'm sure they have their various uses, bombing testing, it sounds like. Isn't that what they use those things for?
The Bikini Atoll. They just, like, blow them up.
That is probably not one of these. So
they have one that just has a bunch of like Denny's booths.
I love the easy question. Name the five major inhabited U.S. territories. Mm-hmm. We, working together, were able to get three out of the five, so it seems like it's like a good difficulty.
And we're dumb as shit, so.
Yeah, and then the hard one, I'm going to give this one a C or a D. I'm giving this a low rating because it's pretty bare bones. Just as name any uninhabited U.S. territory. And it doesn't really have a satisfying answer either. Like, you know, there's just no it's got no flavor. It's raw chicken breast. You know, it needs or plain, I should say, not raw. Don't eat raw chicken breast. That will make you sick.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It needs some spice.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just. It's one of those that is like there are too many possible answers. It exists in a world where you could just make up fucking names. I think that maybe how many uninhabited islands. So these islands together are called the United States Minor Outlying Islands. And I think that maybe like how many islands comprise the United States minor outlying islands or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even like number answer questions, and I think I would even prefer that, because naming these, like, if you, I guess you would know this if maybe you work in the military and you know about these things, or I don't know. I wonder how Mike learned about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it seems to be World War II adjacent knowledge every time I'm looking up information or whatever. All three of the islands, Baker, Howland, and Jarvis, were evacuated in 1942 as a result of World War II. There's been no modern indigenous population except at the 1940 census, and in 1936, a colonization program began to settle Americans on Baker, Howland, and Jarvis. But all three islands were evacuated in 1942 as a result of World War II. So it looks like they started putting some people there, and then they were like, nope.
Yeah, some forts and stuff. So, yeah, I think I like the first question a little bit more. It just seems like a little bit more common knowledge, general knowledge. If we had a team of seven, I don't know that we could be able to name any uninhabited U.S. territory. So that's going to be like, if you're a quizmaster giving this to a room full of people, I just have very low confidence that there's going to be anybody maybe that would get this. And if you do, it's because they have some, you know, probably specific knowledge, you know, related to it. Like their grandfather was evacuated from Baker Island.
Absolutely.
In 1937.
I also just learned that there's a Guano Islands Act.
What's that? Like outlawing islands made of bat poop?
That enables citizens of the United States to take possession in the name of the United States of unclaimed islands containing guano deposits.
This is our shit.
Give us this shit.
Interesting.
In the 1940s, guano came to be prized as a source of saltpeter for gunpowder as well as agricultural fertilizer.
Okay.
So you can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1856, the Guano Islands Act. We want to be able to take all that shitting. Whenever any citizen of the United States discovers a deposit of guano on any island, rock, or key, not within the lawful jurisdiction of any other government, and not occupied by the citizens of any other government, and takes peaceable possession thereof, and occupies the same, such island, rock, or key, may at the discretion of the president be considered as appertaining to the United States. Section 1 of the Guano Islands Act.
Wow.
Peaceable possession. You're not like fucking throwing down. It's like you're picking up change, like hardcore dancing. Give me this fucking seabird shit. Punching someone in the mouth.
Oh. Hey, it wasn't above colonizers, you know, to do that. Who's to say, you know, there's enough saltpeter in that bat guano. You might be willing to, you know, throw down and take it.
Saltpeter.
Dylan, Mike, thank you so much for the Rate My Questions.
Yes.
If you want to send us one, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call. Give us a call.
Or 1929.
1-929-356-6966. Yes.
Lee.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Movie adaptations,
Poppy,
is your final category.
And I can't remember if it was off mic or on mic, but you did the voodoo on me. You did the hoodoo. You think I'm going to get this, which means I'm not.
We'll see.
Okay.
Joe Klein is the author of what 1996 Roman Aklef that was turned into a 1998 Mike Nichols movie starring John Travolta, Emma Thompson, and Billy Bob Thornton.
I hate you. Look at you, so proud of yourself.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
Joe Klein is the author of what 1996 Roman A Clef that was turned into a 1998 Mike Nichols movie starring John Travolta, Emma Thompson, and Billy Bob Thornton.
What is a Roman A Clef?
A Roman A Clef is a work of fiction that is based on real people and events.
Thank you.
You like questions where you learn stuff.
I do, very much. I've often said that if I played a trivia where I just knew everything, I wouldn't be happy. What movie with John Travolta and Billy Bob Thornton? Emma Thompson. Mike Nichols movie.
Do you know anything of his?
I know the name. I think you may have asked a question about him once or something. Fuck. John Travolta. Pulp Fiction came out like 94. This is a couple of years after his comeback. And what did you say the genre was?
Well, it is a roman a clef, which is the term for a work of fiction that is based on real people and events.
Okay, so there's nothing aside from that. It's not saying if it's a comedy or a drama or anything.
Right. Do you want some other Mike Nichols movies?
Sure.
Working Girl, The Birdcage, Closer, and Charlie Wilson's War. And when he made this movie, he was married to journalist Diane Sawyer.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. Yes, Mike Nichols. Joe Klein is the author of the original book.
Well, it's not Face Off.
That would be John Travolta and Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy Bob would be an interesting recast.
Indeed. John Travolta and Billy Bob Thornton is Batman and Robin. That's amazing. Who's who? Billy Bob's got to be Batman, right?
I was thinking the other way around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
Billy Bob's taller, no?
I'm not sure. I just see John Travolta more as a Bruce Wayne type. Billy Bob, I used to be an acrobat. Till my family died.
Man.
Now I'm a bird.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I wonder if it's that one movie where he's got that weird fucking soul patch. I can't think of a fucking 98. It's like right around Titanic. Emma Thompson is no help to me. You know, there was some movie, I can't remember if Emma Thompson was in it, but there was some movie about a guy whose like face gets fucked up. And he has to get surgery because his face is all fucked up. Man Without a Face. I want to say Man Without a Face.
Eyes Without a Face?
Eyes Without a Face.
No, that's wrong, Mark. It is neither Man Without a Face nor Eyes Without a Face. The answer is a book that was originally published under the name Anonymous. Primary Colors. Which was a roman a clef about Bill Clinton's first presidential campaign from 1992.
Interesting. I was just listening to... that's funny. I was just listening to an episode of How Did This Get Made Today? And they mentioned Primary Colors on it. But they were thinking of another show. Or another movie. And John Travolta was in Swordfish, right?
Yes.
Swordfish is the movie that they were doing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Halle Berry's boobs. She got paid a lot. He was
also in The Fanatic, which was directed by Fred Durst, who was rumored to have dated the voice of a generation, Christina Aguilera.
Yes, and he was also rumored to have not only a chocolate starfish, but also hot dog flavored water.
That's more than a rumor, my friend. just a quick note on this Primary Colors. Joe Klein, he is now known as the author, but as I mentioned, the book was published under Anonymous, and he denied, he was questioned, because after stylometric analysis was done on the book, by somebody, I think, at the Washington Post. People thought this is Joe Klein's writing. He denied it. Newsweek asked him. He denied it. Newsweek said, would you stake your professional reputation on it? Like, would you basically swear on your career that it's not you? And he's like, it's not me. And then the Washington Post got a hold of a manuscript that had some of the author's handwritten notes on it. And so they compared his handwriting, and the fucking jig was up.
Damn.
So Joe Klein is now known as the author of that book, Primary Colors, which he published anonymously in 96.
Woof. All right, Lee, pick a number 1 through 4.
1.
Okay. Here's your last question.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the highest paid athlete in the world in 2016?
Can I go with number 2? Just kidding. Highest paid athlete in the world in 2016. 4 years ago. Basketball players, baseball players, football players all get paid very well. Feel like Peyton Manning was kind of at the height of his career about 4 years ago, or he was, I don't know about the height, but very popular. And you're a Patriots fan. I hope I'm getting this right. I hope Peyton Manning is the quarterback of the Patriots 4 years ago. Is that his name? Am I thinking of the right guy?
No. I can't keep a poker face. No, his name is fucking Tom Brady. Jesus Christ almighty.
Peyton Manning from?
Peyton Manning was the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts for a long time and then the Denver Broncos.
Broncos. Okay. Tom Brady. Does Tom Brady have a younger brother?
Or does
Peyton Manning
football.
Have a younger brother?
Yeah, Eli Manning.
Fuck. Dude, my sports mind palace is such a mess.
Yes, clearly.
Well, shit, now I want to say Tom Brady. But I feel like it's probably not because he just gave that to me willy-nilly.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you that.
Yeah.
He is not that. They're both still highly paid athletes. He's just not the fucking quarterback right. for the Patriots.
But I don't. I think Peyton Manning was on the decline in 2016. I want to say his prime was maybe a little bit before that. But Tom Brady, I mean, everybody was, you know, looking at him. They were in the Super Bowl a couple times in a row. There was Deflategate, right? That was a Brady event.
It was a Patriots/football event.
Mm-hmm. Patriots/football. I like how you're spreading the blame. Like it's like Nutella on a fucking crisp, a biscuit crisp. Okay, so Tom Brady. I'll go with that for football. I really don't know anything about basketball. I think Kobe Bryant was done playing by then. And I don't really know who came after that's still playing. That's being paid well. There's like no sports right now. And baseball, baseball players can get paid well, but I just don't think that there's any baseball player right now that's getting paid as well as a NFL player and NBA player. Are there any sports outside of these that it's just hard to imagine? Like a golfer, maybe? Hmm. 2016. Well, shit. I'll go with Tom Brady, I guess. That's my best guess. That's where I was going, even though I was saying Peyton Manning. I was thinking about Tom Brady. So I'll go with it.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Goose egg.
Tom Brady, in 2016, he signed a 2-year, $41 million contract. Peyton Manning in 2016 signed a $15 million contract. Kobe Bryant, his last year in the NBA was 2016. So he did play in 2016. But as far as his salary in 2016, still not the highest. He got $25 million in 2015. The correct answer with a whopping $88 million in earnings.
Wait. Can I take one last guess?
Sure.
Conor McGregor?
I'm afraid that's incorrect. No.
Okay.
The sport you're forgetting is the biggest sport in the world, my friend. It's the beautiful game of soccer. And the man's name is Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo. $88 million in earnings.
Of course. Of course. I did forget. Damn. And it cost me.
Yeah. And it cost you big. And it cost you a big old goose egg. And welcome to the Goose Egg Club.
Yep.
Of which I am also a member.
We're both egging it on this episode. As expected, I guess. We thought maybe the night energy would help us.
And it just goes to show. I mean, I feel especially the first time with no one to suss with. You get so used to having that sus help. Mm-hmm. You know, that, I mean, we did decent with the Rate My Questions when we worked together. We did okay.
Yeah. Yep. And but, we were close. You almost had Las Vegas Nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I almost had chess.
And you almost had chess. We'll always have chess. I was talking to a friend of mine who might end up being a, who will be a guest soon. And, they were saying they were really worried because they called themselves a dummy. And I was like, please do not worry. We are the biggest dummies of them all. And here we are.
Indeed. Being dummies. I think people still come on and they hear us getting like things wrong. And they're probably like, oh, this is a fluke. They probably know a lot of this stuff because they don't listen to every episode. Our true yeah. fans know how stupid we are.
Yeah, no, it's not a fluke.
It is not a fluke. Who's like central over here?
We are just ding dongs.
We're good hosts, though. And we hope that you join us, folks, at our respective trivias. Again, you can check out Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. and No Nonsense Trivia on Thursdays on Twitch at 8 p.m. You can find the links to that in the show notes of this episode. Thank you for listening. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. Please and thank you. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Mark, we have a new Patreon supporter.
Hot damn. We have
to send a special thank you to Alex Garcia, our new proverbial lightkeeper, for joining the ranks. Thank you, Alex, for supporting the No-No on Patreon. We hope that you enjoy access to your new bonus content that we've been putting up.
Yes, and of course, we do need to give a shout-out to all of our other wonderful Patreon subscribers and supporters, old and new, for helping us out with the show and keeping it ad-free. Our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim from Pat's Garden Service out there. We hope you're doing well out there in California. Our team captains, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook to the third power. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Alex. Thank you, Alex. Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And of course, thanks also to our Rumpelstiltskins, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C,
Mike Chance the Gila Monster,
Michael S,
Mike Soprano,
and Michael J.
Mike J.R.R. Tolkien liked to stay up at night.
Ah, yes, so late.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a missed correction, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call at 1-929-356-69.
Six-six.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
Six-six. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. People trickling in every week, and I say that every week because it is still happening. We are very happy to have you. Please feel free to share all the goodies. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you love and don't love, etc., etc., etc. And finally, don't forget, please, to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only.
Please.
Until next week, No Nonsense listeners, have a great time.